Well, it's very nice to be with you again in Newcomnock, and we trust that we might enjoy God's presence with us as we seek to proclaim the gospel. I want to read with you tonight in the Gospel according to Luke, a very well-known story, and it's Luke's Gospel number chapter 15. The Gospel of Luke and chapter number 15. And verse number 1, Luke 15 and verse number 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." That's their drawing near to the Lord Jesus. "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance." Now we know that God will bless to us the reading from his good word. If you're accustomed to coming along to meetings such as this, I'm sure that's not the first time that you've heard this story from the Bible referred to. And really, this evening I really have been exercised to look upon it, because I believe that in this lovely portion of God's word it describes for us three simple things. And the first thing that I want you to notice is it describes the condition of the sinner, lost. Very clearly it defines for us the condition of a sinner. Not describes every one of us, we're lost. And secondly, it also shows us that there's a desire of the Saviour. We can see very clearly the illustration of the desire of the Saviour. Now we know that when we look upon the chapter that we have read from, it referred to as a shepherd. And the shepherd had a great desire to rescue the sheep or to find the sheep. And I would say the desire of the Saviour is for you, for us tonight, is that he wants to save us. He wants to find us. He wants us to bring us into the fold. And the last thing that I can see clearly from the chapter is that not only do we see the description of the sinner, not only do we see the desire of the Saviour, but we see the delight of salvation. We see the end result. And the end result is here, and you can't miss it. In the chapter we are seeing over and over again, verses 5, 6 and 7 really show us the great delight in a sheep being found. You see, friend, tonight, it's a great day. I don't know about you, but it's a great day when a soul gets saved. And you know, when we sing that little hymn, "O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God." You know something? That does something for me. It just brings the hair in the back of your neck to a standstill and say, now, what a joy it is to hear of a soul been saved. And you know, perhaps tonight in Newcomnock or in Kilwinning, people wouldn't really be concerned whether a soul gets saved or not. The majority of folk would never really be concerned. But I know that if a soul was saved in Kilwinning, and tonight there'll be great rejoicing amongst the believers there. And the same I would say, if a soul gets saved in Newcomnock, whether here or anywhere else, there'll be great rejoicing in Newcomnock. And you see, friend, tonight, why is there such a great rejoicing? Why is it such a happy occasion? It's because someone who was once lost has came under the influence of the Saviour, and they have come in for the blessing of salvation, and they're safe in Christ. There's no other way to be in this world. You can look around everything in this world, and there's nothing, I say nothing, that will give you more pleasure than to know that you're saved and ready for heaven. It's the only thing that matters, whether you're young or old. I would say tonight, and I'd say it no matter where I would be, the only real satisfaction in this life is knowing that your sins are forgiven and you're ready for heaven. You see, as I said to you earlier, this portion from God's word describes for us the condition of a sinner, lost. And really, when we look into the very opening verses of this chapter, it says that the Pharisees, they were greatly concerned, and the scribes, they murmured and said, look at this man. It says concerning him, he receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. See, friend, tonight, I want to tell you, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to save a sinner. You know, sometimes we sing that little hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And it goes on to say how it saved a wretch like me. People in the world sing it, but they don't really sing it with meaning. But I want to tell you tonight, I'm glad that the Lord Jesus, God's only Son, can look upon such a wretch as myself. Because I can say of a truth tonight, once I was lost, but now I've been found. Once I was on the road to hell, now I am on the road to heaven. Once I was in my sins, tonight my sins are gone. The description of the sinner. You know, I happened to look into the dictionary. And it's sometimes good just to see what people use the expression lost. What does it mean? You could go home tonight and look in the dictionary and see what it means, lost. I looked in the dictionary, it says someone who doesn't know where they are or doesn't know where they're going. That's about a bad description. And you know, we would look upon tonight many folk and you ask them where they are, yes, they'll say they're in Newcomnock. But when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to those things which are eternal, you ask them where they stand. The majority of folk that I meet at the doors, you ask them about salvation, they say, I don't know, I'll wait and see what happens. You see, what they're prepared to do is just be lost in the awful mire of this world and prepared to wait until eternity to find out what's going to happen next. My Bible makes it very clear. The man or woman who dies as a lost sinner will be in hell. Very clear. And when we look into the description that is given here, that a sheep that is lost is one that doesn't know where they are, it doesn't know where it's going. And really the majority of folk in the land in which we live, they're quite content where they are. And I want to say this to you tonight, that the devil would make it very easy for them to enjoy the world. The joys of this world, the devil makes it as sweet and as appetizing as possible for them to enjoy it. Why is the devil such a person? It's because he doesn't want them to realize that they're lost. You see, I know that there's many people, and whenever they find a little symptom in their body, they say, well, I'll put it off. And sometimes those little symptoms, if they went to a doctor earlier, they'd have found out the cure would have been much better and easier. And you see, they're not willing to admit that they've got a little ailment. It's the same thing when it comes to salvation. Many people are not willing to admit they're lost. You see, if we realize tonight in our lost condition, where our lost condition was taking us to, it's taking us to a lost eternity. You see, tonight, every one of us, very clearly from the Word of God, tells us we started out on our journey of life. For some it might only be 4 years ago. For others it might be 20, 30, 40, 50, could it go even higher, 60, 70? Years ago we started out on our journey of life. And when we started out on that journey of life, we started out on road. as a lost sinner. And why is that? It's because man, Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. Man disobeyed God, and everyone started out their journey of life on a pathway of a lost sinner. You see, every generation that is born, we all have to trace it back to the root cause. It all started with Adam. You see, there's many people say, do you really believe that? There's many people that would really say, do you really believe that? They would even go as far as to say, do you really believe the word of God is true? There's a little, we were up in Edinburgh during the week, and there was a little tent. And you know, what these people were doing was testifying that the word of God is true, and they were celebrating the 400 years of the King James Version, and the people were writing a little verse in their own handwriting. But the one thing that impressed me was this, that they were preaching that the word of God was true. And many people say, I don't believe a word of it. The Bible is true. It comes from God. It's God's word. And it tells us that we were lost. When did we go? When were we lost? The moment we were born. You see, the psalmist David, he wrote lovely psalms. Oh, beautiful psalms. But you know, the psalmist David could say in one of his psalms, he says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Psalmist David, a mighty man like David, yes, he was willing to admit that he was lost. He was willing to admit that he went astray from the moment he was born. And I look upon these boys, and I look upon my audience tonight, every one of us, the speaker included, we started out on our journey of life as a lost sinner. We started out the road of life right from the very moment we were born. We started on the road to a lost eternity. You might say, well, that's very unfair, really. Well, it's not unfair, it's what God's word tells us, because man sinned. And from Adam right until this day, every one of us were lost. L-O-S-T, lost. The concern I have is that people don't realise they're lost. I'm going to tell you a little story of my own boy. And a couple of them got lost on many occasions. But you know, one of our children one time we discovered when we were on the beach, he wasn't there. And I don't know about you, but the moment a mother or father realizes one of their children's not there, they become greatly concerned. And what they do is they go and look at all the places where it would attract them. If there was a Punch and Judy show, he might be there. No, he wasn't there. He might be at the sea edge. No, he wasn't there. And we became frantic. We began looking for him. And you know, we started trawling up and down that beach looking for our son. We never found him for a few moments. It was maybe about half an hour or so. We then began to walk to a portion of the beach, and by the hand, a dear lady had my boy. And the tears were running down his face. And you know, we were delighted to see him. We were delighted because we had found our child that was lost. And you know, whenever I began to ask him, where did you go, or what did you do? And he says, Dad, I didn't really know I was lost. In his innocence, he was wandering distant different places. And lo and behold, with the crowd around, he then suddenly discovered he was lost. That describes sinners tonight. Sometimes don't realize they're lost. They're quite content when everything's going according to plan. They're quite content whenever all of the money, the bills are paid and everyone is doing what they feel is good. They're quite content. But just stop for a moment. This is the big test. Do you know where you're going in eternity? Do you know where you stand in the presence of God? Because the sinner who is still in the same way in which they were born, the Bible says they are lost. Lost. And to remember this tonight, it's a great thing to discover you're lost. It's a great thing to discover that you're lost and you need salvation. You need to be rescued. You need to be found. I tell you tonight, I can remember sitting in a gospel meeting one night. The night that I got saved and the whole that I discovered I was lost. I discovered that I was going to hell. And I also had to agree with God that's what I deserved. To discover that I, as a sinner born into this world, had never had my sins forgiven, I was going to hell because I was lost. Lost. That describes for me, as I look upon this little sheep, wandering in the little fields, wandering content and field to field, unaware that they were lost. And friend, tonight I'm glad that the chapter just doesn't tell us about the lost sheep. It tells us about a Saviour. It tells us about a shepherd. It tells us about someone who had a desire to go out and find the sheep that was lost. And when I look upon it, he says, "Now what man of you having 100 sheep?" Oh, he had 100 sheep. And you would say, really, what did he do? He made sure that the 99 were safe. But his one desire was that he'd go out into the mountains, look for the sheep that was lost. Oh, tonight, I'm glad that God's Son, the one who came from heaven itself, God's beloved Son, he came down into the world, into the very world his hands had made. And I'm glad tonight that he came to seek the lost. The Bible tells us, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And when I look upon this particular shepherd, he made sure that he was going to go out. What a desire. And I want to say tonight, there was nothing that was going to keep this shepherd back from looking for that sheep. The only concern in his mind was, where is the sheep that was lost? Because he wanted to save it. He wanted to find it. I tell you tonight, and our brethren have been praying at the commencement of our meeting about a shepherd that's looking for the lost sheep. Who's he looking for? He's looking for lost sinners. You see, tonight, I want to tell you this. And you can tell your friends tomorrow, you can tell them wherever you go, that the Lord Jesus Christ will never give up looking for you. He wants you. He wants to save you. And you will never be able to blame God that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't seek you out. If you... And I trust there's no one in our meeting tonight will end up in a lost eternity in hell. But tonight I want to tell you, you'll never be able to point the finger at God and say, "I was never sought. I was never sought. No one looked for me. No one sought me." Tonight the Saviour is standing with outstretched arms and he's saying to men and women and boys and girls throughout the world tonight, "Come unto me. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And tonight I look upon the shepherd, and it clearly sees his one desire was he would go out into the fields. And no matter where it would take him to, he wanted to find the sheep that was lost. My Saviour came from heaven. And tonight isn't wonderful that the message of the gospel ever came to Newcomnock. Isn't it great it ever came to Scotland that there's a Saviour who's looking for the lost sinner? What a wonderful message of salvation we can preach tonight. What a wonderful message of redeeming grace that God sent His Son, the Saviour of the world, to look for those who were lost. You see, the big difficulty is in the part of the lost sinner, they're not willing to be found. There's not the willingness in their hearts to come to the shepherd that's looking for them. You know why? They don't realize they're lost. And I would love tonight, If I go round the meeting and I would look you face to face and say, now, have you ever looked upon yourself as being lost? Did you ever count the cost of where you stand before God and remember and to know and understand that you're lost in the presence of God and there's a Saviour willing to find you? I'm glad that the Saviour found me on the 7th of November 1965, sitting in the gospel meeting. He found a poor lost sinner. And tonight I'm glad that the desire of God is that all men will be saved. You know, salvation's not a selective thing. It's not a matter that you need to be born into this generation or that generation, or you need to be born into that family or this family. No, no. Salvation's for the whosoever will. And the Bible that's on our wall tonight tells us the verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." No one is excluded. Not one. We sometimes sing with the children, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Wonderful to think that the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to look, and the desire of Christ is that he's going to look and find sinners that are lost. But there has to be a willingness on the part of the sheep, or part of the sinner, to come to the shepherd that's looking for them. Oh, friend, tonight, to someone, you make it sound so simple. It is simple. You know, I had great difficulty before I was saved in trying to believe. I tried to work up some enthusiasm. I tried to see now, what do I need to get saved? Is it a good feeling comes into me? No, no. I was focused upon the wrong things. The night that the God spoke to me, I realized that I was a sinner as dark as could be. And I was a sinner on the road to hell. I want to tell you something tonight. We're all on the road to hell. Only God saved us. Every one of us started out on the road to hell. But God saved us. And I want to say this tonight. Every sinner, every man, woman and boy and girl that's not saved is just sitting on the precipice of going into a lost eternity. Solemn, isn't it? To think that a soul that's not saved is sitting right on the edge of the cliff about to fall into God's great eternity, into hell itself. Are you saved tonight? Have you been found tonight? Do you know of a truth tonight that your sins are gone? That the pathway is clear? And Christ is your Saviour. Oh, friend, tonight, it's no point in saying, well, I've got a little card that I sign. No, no, that'll not save you. And there's no point in saying, someone said a little prayer for me. That'll not do. I'm asking you tonight, your sins, those iniquities, those sins that you're accountable for, have you ever confessed before God that you're guilty? That you're a sinner? And that you need salvation? Oh, friend, tonight it's a real thing to discover that you're lost. You see, my little son, he was concerned as he moved around. There was no tears. It was only when he discovered and he looked around, he says, my mother and father's not here. I can't find my way back to them. He didn't know where he was. He knew he was on the beach and perhaps he could think to himself, then they're here somewhere, but I can't find them. That moment. That's the moment the anxiety started. That's the moment that the tears started because he discovered he was lost. And friend, tonight I would love in this gospel meeting, if there's anyone here tonight who's not saved, that would discover that they're lost and they need a Saviour, and there's a Saviour willing to save them. Salvation is offered tonight, and that's what we read in our little portion of Scripture tonight. We talk about the sheep that was lost. We talk about a shepherd that had a desire to find the sheep. Ah, but it was a great occasion when the shepherd found the sheep. Oh, what a joy. And I look upon it. And this verse really has really impressed itself upon my heart today, that when he hath found it, it says he layeth it on his shoulder. He lifts the sheep and layeth it on his shoulder. What does it do? Rejoicing. Rejoicing. You see, when the Savior and the sinner meet, there's a great time of rejoicing. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that when a sinner is found, the angels in heaven rejoice. Yes, my dear friend, not only will the angels in heaven rejoice, but they'll be rejoicing here in this gospel meeting tonight if there was a sinner who would come to Christ. If there was a sinner that was lost and was found, it says tonight, the delight that salvation brings, it says, firstly, the shepherd rejoiced. He takes the poor little animal, puts it on his shoulder, and he rejoiced. But he not only rejoices, he says, I'm going out to tell my neighbors. When he brought it back to the fold, it says he bringeth the sheep home, and he calls for his friends and his neighbors. And what does he say? He says, I want you to rejoice with me. I want you to rejoice with me. Why? He says, because I have found my sheep that was lost. I want to tell you tonight, I'm not ashamed to say that I was once lost. I'm glad I can say tonight that I was lost, but now I've been found. Found? Yes, I have been saved. The delight that entered into my soul the night that I was saved. Someone says, did you get a nice feeling? No, no, no. I fully understood that night that my sins were removed. Another had borne the price of my sins at Calvary. You see, when I look upon him, look upon the cross, I realize that on the center cross, there was a man that died in my stead. There was a man who bore the punishment for my sins. There was a man who bore the penalty that I should have endured throughout all eternity. And on the cross of Calvary, he died for me. And tonight, it was a great cause for rejoicing. Oh yes, I can remember going to the door that night and saying to the preacher, Mr. Sam Thompson, who was the preacher, and I says, Mr. Thompson, I want to tell you tonight, I got saved during the meeting. He says, praise God. Was he rejoicing? Oh yes, he was rejoicing. Was my mother rejoicing? Yes, the tears began to roll. And I want to tell you, not only did those folk in that little meeting that night rejoice, and I rejoiced, heaven rejoiced. Why? Because a sinner that was lost was found. A sinner that had gone astray was brought back to the fold. A sinner who deserved to go to hell and the lake of fire was brought in and saved for heaven. Oh, I tell you tonight, great rejoicing when a soul comes into the kingdom. And tonight, not only did the man rejoice in himself, not only did he rejoice with his neighbors, but he says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. You get the picture? The shepherd rejoiced. Yes, the neighbors and friends rejoiced. And the angels in heaven rejoiced. Why? Because a poor sheep was found. You say to yourself, one sheep, one person that heaven will rejoice in. And you think of the masses of people in the world. My friend, tonight I want to tell you, God sent his son to die for the sins of the world. And that's why the hymn writer has quoted those words, that all my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them upon his own son, and believing, I am free. Oh, tonight, my dear friend, if you're lost, can I just enlighten you by the work of God and his Holy Spirit that God wants to save you. And he wants to save you now. He doesn't want you to put it off until next week or the week after or next year. He wants to save you now, because the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. I wonder why salvation is not offered tomorrow. I wonder why it tells us in the Bible, we'll promise you salvation tomorrow. I'll tell you why. We do not know what a day may bring forth. The Bible makes it very clear that tomorrow is eternity, just hidden from your view. And I can only say to you tonight as I preach the gospel, that now is the time. Our brother in prayer mentioned the fact we may not be here next week. We may not have another day. We may not have another night before the 12 o'clock tonight. We do not know. But it could be the saved of earth shall rise to be with Christ. And you could be left behind. That's why, dear friend, tonight, now is the accepted time. Now is the time to come in for the blessing of salvation. So tonight, just think of that little story of the lost sheep. How it reminds us of the description of the sinner lost. How it tells us of the desire of the Savior in that he is one who receives sinners. He looks for sinners. He wants to save them. And finally, the delight of salvation. Oh, friend tonight, what a joy it is to be saved. You know, in our newspapers, sometimes whenever people win the lottery, and there's no chance of me winning the lottery, it's not because I'm an unlucky person, it's because I don't buy any lottery tickets. But you know, you see people and they buy their lottery ticket, and they win big, big fortunes of money, and how happy they are. But I'm always looking to see, I can guarantee tonight, they're not as happy as I am. And I haven't won the millions. And I have no desire to have millions. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know my sins forgiven. And I'm absolutely glad tonight that my home is in heaven. I'm glad I'm found. I wouldn't want to be in a position that anyone tonight is in being lost. Because my fear would be lost forever. Never to be found. Only to end up in hell in the lake of fire for all eternity. I trust tonight that these simple words that we have preached might have an effect upon any in our meeting who is not yet saved, that are still on the road to hell. We trust that you might be wise and think of these things, shall we pray? Our gracious God and our Father, in the precious name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus, we come before thee at the close of our time together. We do thank thee again for the wonderful love that we were singing about at the commencement of our meeting. We're thankful again for the message of the gospel that is contained in the scriptures, describing the lost sinner and the Savior that is seeking for them. And tonight we pray that the wonderful joy of salvation might come to some dear soul's heart tonight, that they might know their sins forgiven and heaven as their eternal home. Remember us now as we part, we pray that thy good hand might be upon us and give us journey mercies, we pray. For we ask these things in his precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank you again for listening, and we'll just close our meeting by singing the hymns, or two verses of a hymn of 330. 330. 330, I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. Verse 3 says, just Jesus calls me on to perfect faith and love, to perfect hope and peace and trust for earth and heaven above. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. Just remain seated, singing verses number 1 and 3 of 330.